Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
And off we go.
Yay.
Welcome back to Dare to Dream, where the extraordinary isn't fiction, it is the conversation. Dana Kippel is here today with a message that could change the way you understand reality. In the next few minutes, you're going to discover why plasma, the fifth element of the universe, may also be the missing link between consciousness, intuition, and the future of humanity. And why this matters right now. So stay with us, because what you're about to hear could shift how you create reality, how you connect, how you navigate your own multidimensional power. And if you'd like to learn more about Dana, go to Dana Kippel, that's KIPPEL.com. So plasma, consciousness,
yes,
and the hidden architecture of reality. Dana, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's great to have you.
Yay. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. This is a very cool subject. And you know, I had a question, I would say 6 months ago, I started wondering, why are people starting to talk about plasma? What is plasma in the cosmos? What is the plasma to us? And
yeah,
so let's start with the foundation, plasma, consciousness, reality. For listeners who are new to this, and I would say, even after looking into you, still I am somewhat.
Yeah.
What is scientific plasma? What is your expanded definition that reframes plasma as a living intelligence?
Yes, great question. And it's a good place to start, because most people, including me, for most of my life, had no idea what plasma was. I only saw the plasma globes at the store Spencer's, which was like a party store. But I didn't know it was plasma. I just thought it was magic, which is, you know, a little hint within itself. But so in science, plasma is the fourth state of matter. There goes solid, liquid, gas, plasma. It is an ionized gas, meaning that the electrons are kind of free around it. It sometimes can create fluorescence. That is why we see it in the northern lights, the aurora borealis. We see plasma is lightning. It is part of fire. It is neon lights. Neon signs are a cold plasma. And it makes up 99.9% of visible matter. So my theory is, hey, if this substance makes up 99.9% of visible matter, I would say 100% in different states of matter, then I think it's the fabric of reality. And it also makes up 99.9% of invisible matter. It is, you know, the vehicle of our consciousness. And my expanded definition is, okay, science is putting a lens on this expanded, beautiful, plasmatic substance that is a lot finer than we can currently test with scientific tools. Just like we theorized gravity before being able to prove gravity, there is a finer ether, a living ether that is plasma, that is multidimensional. It is the glue of the universe between all timelines, dimensions, and it is what I call living and sentient, and it is the vehicle for consciousness, information, and intelligence. So that is kind of how I describe it. And it also, it really also is more of a set of behaviors of the fabric of reality. And an interesting subject too is plasma actually means to mold in Greek. So the name came from literally to mold. So it is like this divine, almost feminine substance that our masculine active consciousness molds with our higher self. But like one hand is your hand, the other is your higher self, to create reality with this like intelligent clay of the universe. So we have to know about our, you know, dancing partner in life. We're in a relationship with this substance and we don't even realize it.
Your background, because I know you call yourself a polymath. That's a big title. So what is your background? Because I've also seen you're a filmmaker, an actor, and how does all of this factor in?
Yeah, sure. The way I use polymath is kind of funny. I think anyone should and can use it. It really is just that you're good and interested at a lot of different things. Also, you know, I have a little bit of a special interest with plasma. So I do feel like I say this with a lot of humility, but I have a bit of like savantism, which isn't even a word when it comes to plasma, where I just notice these, I have pattern recognition with it and how it relates to our consciousness and the world. And I was able, to write like a 700-page book about it. But a polymath really is just when you're good at a lot of things. And, I'm neurodivergent from a very early age. I was always smart, but I was not school smart. I actually didn't even go to college. I didn't do that great in school either. I did amazing at what I loved, which was math and science. I did horrible at history because I thought most of it was fake. I didn't think I needed to learn Spanish, so I got a D in Spanish. And I did great at like cheerleading because I love cheerleading. So basically, I feel like you can be a polymath when you just love what you're doing and your intelligence kind of thrives on that. And then, yeah, my background really was just that I was really good at math and science. I've always had a propensity for it. I had very high scores in quantitative reasoning, pattern recognition, puzzles. And I had low scores with performance anxiety, which means when I get into my logical brain, I shut down. So I've kind of taught myself how to stay in my right creative brain and that I don't need to impress other scientists or logical people, that I'm more smart when I'm in a state of play and not worrying about being smart. And then I also have a background in mental health from my all my 20s, because I went to rehab when I was 21 and 16. I then was inspired to go into the mental health field to help others with addiction and mental health struggles. I had a lot of trauma in my background. And all that to get together put kind of, and I've always been also interested in the paranormal and metaphysics. I've had experiences my whole life. So all of that came together of like science, a little bit of math, spirituality, mental health, and just learning how to love and connect with myself and wanting to share that with people, like how to connect with your magic. And here I am.
That's a great explanation, actually, and weaving all of those gifts together. You held up your book, very cool. And I
Oh,
know
yeah.
your book suggests that plasma is conscious. What was for you, Dana, the moment, the evidence that convinced you plasma is alive?
Yeah, it's so actually, I call it sentient, not conscious, but it is the vehicle for consciousness. So you can kind of say it's conscious too. I think that's really like a silly semantic thing. But basically, I say that plasma is alive. It has a memory, just like the Akashic field. It's, I would say, a similar thing to that. And it holds our imprints of consciousness. So I don't know if it's conscious itself, but I would still call it living. Which really begs the question, what is even consciousness? I believe that consciousness is actually a system of us feedbacking with plasma, and every single object item in a system with plasma, which I call plasma consciousness synergy. I believe that is what consciousness is. It's more of a feedback system. And then awareness, or what I call fifth dimensional consciousness, that is our higher self. And it's kind of operating through this three-dimensional consciousness system. And most of us are stuck in survival mode, which means that our three-dimensional consciousness system is all misfiring and our nervous systems aren't regulated. So the key is, how do we operate as our fifth-dimensional, higher, multidimensional self in our human body? And that's kind of what I'm trying to help teach. And in order to live as our multidimensional self, I feel like we need to learn about plasma, because up there in the ethers are higher selves already know how to use plasma to visit us as UFOs and UAPs, to come in our rooms as these little ghost orbs. It's all, plasma. So they know how to use it, and they want us to learn how to harmonize with it, not to use it for like tools to create like nuclear fusion and blow up the world. That's why UAPs usually are driving around power plants and stuff. They don't want any of that. They're like, hey guys, use your consciousness to harmonize with plasma, and we will show you more than you've ever been able to imagine. Like the most futuristic, amazing technologies that actually give back to the earth. And we just don't want to listen, because that will come from within. And many of us are so scared to look within, especially a lot of business people who've maybe not made the best decisions for humanity. So everyone's just stuck externalizing this beautiful gift of plasma into technologies that we are ruining the earth with.
Yes, I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
If plasma holds memory, does this mean that future timelines already exist and we're simply tuning into them?
Yeah, so it's actually a two-pronged question. It is a paradox, and plasma has tons of paradoxes. So, yes and no. So, right now, in this moment, with my current resonance, with my current conscious heart coherence, whatever I'm resonating with, and this is good for me to remember, whatever state of mind and coherence I'm in is created all my future potentials in the plasma field. Based all on how I'm feeling in my present self. And a lot of us in our present selves are holding on to a lot of our past. So our future, a lot of our futures and survival consciousness and the system is projected from our past. The key is how to heal those past limiting beliefs, how to heal our past trauma and learn to resonate in total presence. I call it the Z axis in my book. And when we can resonate in that total presence and heart coherence, not worrying about the future or past, making choices from the actual present, not out of judgment, but almost from our higher self or multidimensional self, that is actually what creates what I call emergent future timelines, which is not any of these future potentials. It is a totally new one where you invent something never yet created in any timeline where the God, the universe is learning from you. And that is why one person can change the world and one person can be so powerful. And to me, it motivates me to get there. And I have a long way to go myself. I'm still, working on relationships and interpersonal things, but I know and I feel in my heart it is true. It doesn't mean it's easy or a fast, quick fix. But yes, yeah, so at the same time, there's future. Our future is determined based on where we're at now, and we can change it based on our choices of where we're at now. So it's a great thing to know. We have the power.
Power. I love that. Absolutely. And so, based on what you just shared and the possibilities with that, what role do emotions and sensitivity play, especially for folks like you and I and those watching who are uber sensitive? Our emotions, our sensitivity, how then do we access multidimensional states through plasma from the emotions and the sensitivity?
Yeah, I talk about it a lot in my book. I call it emotional technology. So the number one thing is to know to connect with your emotions. And for a long time, I wasn't even connecting with them. Energy in motion is emotion. It's just plasma in motion, with our consciousness. It is these imprints and feelings. And there's a difference between emotions and feelings. Emotions, I would say, are more within the timelines. And feelings are almost like feelings of awe, curiosity. They're more what I would say our higher self feels. They're not the same as I would call like human emotion. But the interesting thing is, our higher self is actually all of our higher selves are kind of watching how humans work in that way because they don't have emotions. They have feelings, which are lighter and more effervescent, but they still have contrast. So they're like, oh my God, like you have all these negative and positive emotions. Like, how are you going to create with plasma? Like they know how, because they think it and it happens and they're in these higher states. And it's like, can humans even do that? And that's what they're kind of waiting to see how we evolve in that way. And I'm still learning how to use my emotions, or else I would be like a, billionaire sorceress by now. But basically knowing your emotions, connecting with them, being able to decipher kind of what they are and not having resistance when you want to visit a timeline that you're in, maybe somewhere else, or wanting to, visit the inside of the moon or wherever you want to go. If you can feel it in your heart and envision it, you will go there like that. The problem is the resistance of our doubt and our thoughts and our mind. And when you can, even if you want like a future outcome of something, I always say first, make sure your intention is from your heart, not your ego, because you might get what you want and not like it. But when you really feel like you want it from your heart and soul, and you follow that emotion every day, and I would call it a mix of actually feelings and emotions, if you're really following that higher calling, it is like casting a hook, and then it will pull you towards it. And as you go by feeling, not logic, you pull yourself towards that future potential that you want to create for yourself. That's one way to do it. And then the other way, which is kind of what I feel like is fun, is just to sit in the mystery of things, like just focusing on what do I feel like choosing, not what I want to create in the future per se. I have some ideas, but it's more like I would love to see what, my highest self can dream for me. So, or what you call maybe God could dream for me. So I sit in my mystery. I try to make choices from the present. I'm not perfect at it, from my emotion and feeling, not from past emotion and limiting beliefs, but my current, presence of feeling. And I just let whatever comes come. And it's always so much more beautiful than what I could ever make. So I think there's two ways to do it. And I think both are okay. And I think you could do a mix. Like, I've manifested and I've also kind of said, I want to feel like this today. Let's see what happens out of that. So it's just
That's
fun.
amazing. Yeah, I like that. I like those options too, very much, because it takes the onus off of having to know. And much like you said, often when we feel like we know the well, if I had this outcome, this person, this house, this situation, job, it's actually a limited version of what's possible, right? And when we release instead to the feelings we like to be in and immersed in, and allow maybe something much juicier to be created or co-created on our behalf. That's very powerful. And it also feels really good to be that let go. What about you and your personal experience for activation and discovery? Can you share a personal moment where plasma visibly interacted or altered your perception of reality and the outcome in your reality?
Sure. I would say a lot in the beginning was visuals, and now it's more of like body feelings, less visuals, but there still are visuals sometimes. So in my beginning of my journey, when I was 30 and started meditating, the third time I meditated, I was like in this like, no, this was not the third time. This was the first time before I knew it was plasma. I was in like this fractal pink womb of what I now know as plasma. And I knew I was from there. I was going back there. That's why I kind of associate it with like Mary Magdalene and the divine feminine and the womb of creation, which it literally is. It holds our consciousness, it supports our consciousness to create. And I just knew I was okay no matter what human stuff was going on. And it doesn't mean I don't forget that from time to time. But it was, I have the recording of it. It was such a beautiful experience. And I should listen to that every morning if I was being a very good human, but I make mistakes. And so that was seeing it in my mind's eye, but also kind of really being there, I felt. And then as far as seeing it manifest in front of me, I have seen, plasmoids in the sky, which are plasma, as what I think I call our future ancestors or our higher selves visiting us. And then I've also been to the Monroe Institute and deep in meditation where, and I've had this once on my own too, where these holographic little, ether plasma beings, kind of like they're sentient. They're not even like, I wouldn't even say they're, maybe you can call them awareness, but they're like sentience and awareness, like this fifth dimensional holographic mist, almost like fairies that came into my check unit, what is called it's a bed you stay in at the Monroe Institute that's like totally dark. And they're just floating, and all they were doing was loving and supporting me and telling me everything would be okay because I have one of the most like intrusive negative minds I've seen compared to everyone I've met. And I can overthink my way into manifesting, things happening because I'm a manifester and I really am working on switching that. And it doesn't matter how much I know, it takes time and years to embody these things and, lots of work on yourself, which I'm doing. And yeah, just the beauty of like them kind of emotionally connecting with me and knowing they were there for me and they were my family was an amazing experience. I'm trying to think of any others. Well, anytime like I see a being of consciousness, whether it's been a scary experience in the past, now that I've healed my trauma, I've had beautiful experiences. They're all covered in what I would call a kind of plasma cloak or a fourth dimensional plasma layer that reflects your subconscious. So, based on what I was resonating with, was kind of how I would interface with the being of consciousness and what I would see. And I've had tons of those experiences. And I didn't know that I could co-create them until the last few years. I thought I was kind of victim to whatever, entity visited me. But lo and behold, that is not the truth in my mind and experience. It is a all beings of consciousness that visit us are an individual co-creative experience. And when we learn to regulate our nervous system and our consciousness and heal, we can co-create only beautiful experiences. Even if it's a negative entity, there's ways, obviously protect yourself and never engage in something that feels like really off. But sometimes it can look off. but it's more your own trauma visiting you that needs help. You know, it's like a monster, what I call a man stirred, that just needs to be calmed and soothed, which is your inner child. So there's a lot of nuance to it, and I write about it more in my book, but those are some of my instances with plasma.
Really interesting. And
Yeah.
it's a really nice anecdote that things that look scary are sometimes attributed to us. They're actually our inner machinations being manifest in a way that looks frightening. I guess that has to be true on every level, really.
It's on all levels. I just upset people when I say that because they have such intense bad experiences, and I'm not negating those. It's just it's hard to take accountability that it is all within us and something within us is resonating with that. But it doesn't mean we should have shame or feel guilty. It's stuff we need to heal. But yeah, I mean, evil is human created. Fear is human created. That is not a staple in my mind of plasma or the universe at all. It's all love.
Got it. Yeah. So if we are plasma beings, then what does that mean for the average person waking up tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I would say it means that we can access our inner magic, our inner power. You know, we have a layer of plasma around us. Some people call it the biofield, our aura, your Merkabah. It is what our consciousness synergizes with. So just knowing you have that, at least for me, knowing there's all this undiscovered magic within me and that I can change my reality if I learn to work with this and my higher self. And learn like almost like the behaviors of plasma and more about like how to surrender, how to work with your heart coherence with reality. You know, it's not about controlling reality, but co-creating with it. Just a lot of these things can almost turn like a caterpillar into a butterfly where you learn and discover your own magic powers. Like you get intuitive gifts, you can get gifts that no one's ever had before. And for me, that is all the motivation I need to heal and feel my feelings and be authentic, is knowing that I can have almost like human magic powers and live the life of beyond my wildest dreams. I think learning, I'm not saying learning plasma, you have to. I don't like saying that or instructing people on that, but it has brought so much depth and love and juiciness to my life, and I'm sharing that with people. And if they resonate, I think it will do the same for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And earlier in your transparency, you talked about trauma and you talked about your negative thinking and how you're working to take that, what probably feels like a woundedness, into the superpower flip side that it actually is. So for people who are listening and really resonate with what you just said, and they are feeling blocked, they're feeling afraid, they're feeling disconnected right now, how does plasma understanding or usage help them to heal or regain their sovereignty and power?
Yeah, I think one of the most motivating factors for me is understanding that plasma communicates and reflects with our subconscious, because our subconscious is this fourth dimensional layer of around us of our thoughts and emotions. It is not our 3D consciousness. It is more the imprints of everything that's happened up until now. So, and you can hack that. You can change that and bring your fifth dimensional consciousness down into this fourth dimensional layer and communicate with it from a higher purpose. But most of us are stuck in these limiting beliefs that we don't even know is running the show. Like, you know, I'm not worthy. I have to earn, you know, I have to earn love. Everyone leaves me. If I do this thing and this thing wrong, no one will talk to me again. I mean, I can go on forever with negative and limiting beliefs because I've had a lot of them in my life. But to understand that plasma is only trying to give us what we want, and it thinks what we want is our subconscious, that right there can motivate anyone. Because, for instance, if you're thinking you should, you know, if you're thinking thoughts about, you know, not wanting to hurt yourself, but just like, oh, I should just die, or oh, this and this, like, plasma will give that to you. And it's not because it's evil. It's reflecting your subconscious. So if you're thinking, oh, I look horrible, it's like, oh, you want to look horrible? Like, here you go. I'll give you more of that kind of thing. So, and you know, we all forget this. And I'm not saying this, it happens like that. That's why the laws of the universe work not like that, because if it did it with positive, it would have to do with negative thoughts too. And positive thoughts are way more powerful than negative thoughts because they have love in them. So that just naturally connects more with plasma. It's more visible to plasma when you're in your heart energy versus your fear. But it's still, repetitive anything plasma will latch onto and give you that back. So it's very important to, I don't remember why I went on a tangent, but just knowing that plasma reflects your subconscious is motivation to heal your subconscious. That way you can create more good things in your life versus, things from your past limiting belief systems or, yeah.
Well, then, is there specific they can do? Is there a protocol? Is there steps? What kind of training would you
Sure.
offer?
Sure. I am. Oh, well, by the time this is out, I won't have. Well, I have a magic class on plasma and consciousness. I'm also presenting it at the Conscious Life Expo. I also have it on my website that people could buy as a video if they don't want to read like a 700-page book of practices and things. But I'll give two simple practices, and they're extremely human and extremely simple. One of them is just literally nervous system regulation. It is going on YouTube. It is looking up vagus nerve resets. It is looking up somatic yoga. It is looking up shaking, like African shaking or Qigong, Qigong. I don't know. I never know how to pronounce that. And doing things to work with your energetic body to heal your trauma. And a lot of us store a lot of our trauma in our body, working with like fascia releases. And because you can get therapy all day, but if you're not applying it with action to your body and integrating it in your life, you may as well not get therapy. And then the other thing is therapy, but I wouldn't say cognitive behavioral therapy. I had that my whole life. It never worked. But I would say look into hypnotherapy, internal family systems, and past life regressions. This thing called comprehensive resource model, which completely changed my life. My therapist studied that, somatic therapy. These are things that are extremely human and you wouldn't think really are linked to plasma, but plasma reads your senses, your nervous system, your subconscious. So anything to rewire and heal and transmute your subconscious ultimately will connect with plasma. And the more I've healed, the more abundant I've gotten, the more money I've made, the more beautiful people have come into my life, the more I've been able to have miracles in my life. And I still am a work in progress, but it all started for me when I discovered plasma, which is why I'm sharing it with people. But really, plasma is like this beautiful cosmic mirror that is just walking us home back to ourselves. When you learn about plasma, somehow for me, it was like the best trickster of the universe because it reminded me about my own self. Because I was looking for stuff outside myself. I was like, ooh, plasma, learn about plasma, not care about me. And somehow it was like, nope, we're gonna show flip this mirror and tell you all about you. So I think by learning about plasma, it really just puts a mirror back on learning and facing yourself, which, some people don't want, but that's what we need.
We need, that's for sure. I mean, we're a big component of where we're headed and the choices that the collective timelines we make for the planet, for ourselves. So, yes, when we work on ourselves and everything on the outside gets reflected way more positively, abundantly, lovingly. And so, yeah, when you work on yourself, I mean, I actually think it's such an important point that you make. When we work on ourselves, it is for us, it creates so much more peace and ease and better thoughts and better outcomes and exponential to that is that then everything on the outside also is reflected and we're better to people. So
And with what you're saying too, like one thing that's coming to me is also letting ourselves have those dark emotions, like crying and anger and grief and frustration. And if we don't let ourselves feel it, they stay knotted in us. Like I've been feeling weird the past few days, and I know because I haven't let myself cry, like it's knotting in my stomach right now. So like when you're feeling those things, like let it out. Once again, YouTube, there's like emotional release videos everywhere. I mean, there's no excuse. It really is just about facing ourselves and those dark parts, and knowing that because you have a bad day or a bad few moments does not mean you're going to manifest bad things or will have a bad future. You're actually having to face them and feel them. And it's about My friend, her name on Instagram is In Awe Manifestation, Haley Lloyd. She said, talked about this, and it really resonated with me that you can still have a bad day or negative feelings, like grief or whatever, or anger. But if you're as long as your belief system underneath it is still abundant, you're fine. So if you think, oh, I'm having a bad day, so I'm not going to make money, that's a problem. Or I'm gonna having a bad day, I'm going to get sick. That's the belief is the problem. Instead of thinking, oh, I'm having a bad day, but money's still coming in. Oh, I'm having a bad day, but tomorrow will be better, and I'm going to keep being healthy. So it's really about the beliefs that are almost underneath those feelings that we should worry about more. But yeah, just we have to let ourselves feel. It's all bubbling up all the time.
Really sounds like a simple point, but it's really a huge point. And you know, Dana, when I'm interviewed by media or podcasts, one of the questions they ask is, how do, and I have to always preface it by the with the word benevolent, how do the benevolent extraterrestrials view us? Like, why us? Why are they even interested? And there is a lot to that answer, including the fact that genetically we are family. But outside of that, they don't look at us. Yes, they're far more advanced, far more civilized, peaceful, telepathic, all of that. The most important point is one of the things they love and appreciate about humanity is our emotions. They don't have that wide buffet of emotions, nor resilience like humans do. And so that's one of, and plus our capacity to love. And to a Pleiadian, to a Lyran, to an Orion, to an Andromedan, to an Arcturian, they have all told me this through channelers. So, and Sasani. So saying that, if that's true, if the extraterrestrials look down upon humanity and go, whoa, isn't that amazing? If the grays say, aren't we so stupid that we genetically remastered ourselves to remove emotions, and now our bloodline, so to speak, is dying because we can't give birth, we can't populate our people. They, why were they doing all the abductions, 40s, 50s, 60s with people? Because they were extracting things so they could get emotions back into them and start having hybrid children. So,
Wow, that makes
all of that
sense.
said, if that's true, if we are beloved because of our emotions, appreciated, then feel them all. There is no emotion, I can promise you. Experience, no emotion that's going to kill you. I am a deep, deep, deep feeler and expresser. And so I have never released anger, frustration, fear, worry, anxiety, whatever the plethora was. I have never, and it killed me. And if anything, as you said, energy, emotion, the energy is released. And it is so beautiful, so powerful, so calming. And I used to do this exercise. It was really interesting. A million years ago, it feels like a million years ago, I was in a 12-step program. And I loved the big book. I really loved the big book. I felt so much wisdom. And you know how in the big book they say, and the answer to all my problems,
Oh God, I'm not going to remember. I'm horrible at this.
acceptance. I got it. And
Oh, yeah,
acceptance is the
acceptance is
answer
the
to all my
answer.
problems today. So I remember in the program thinking, well, I have to accept that person. I have to accept that situation. I have to accept, my disease. I have to. And then one day I had this huge epiphany and it said, oh my God, because I stuffed anger. It was not okay to feel, acknowledge, express.
Same,
And so
same.
I suddenly went, what if I attribute that beautiful line to my feelings? And what if today I say, an acceptance of my anger is the answer to all my problems for today? So I would sit in a chair. I will never remember the situation, but it was big at the moment. And I would just say, I accept this anger. This anger is real. It's right to feel this. It makes sense to feel this. I am feeling this. And I would sit fully in the expression inside of myself, for instance, of anger. And what happened that blew me away and was unexpected is within 5 minutes, it was gone.
It does that. And we resist it for so long. You've just helped me kind of process my feeling as you were saying that. Yeah. It really is just about not, you don't even have to make a story about it. You just feel it. And you don't try to feel it. You just let it almost feel you. And then it just passes through you like a wave. But that's so beautiful. Wow.
It's the truth, right? We're trying to
Yeah.
say the truth is coming up to be presented, and there may be good reason, whatever it is. Maybe it's good to be worried about something, or maybe it's from a trauma in the past. But even trauma, we're so used to shutting down, pushing away, because when we're younger, there really is no safe place. And so I feel like when a truth comes up, it is begging to be acknowledged and paid attention to. And the sooner we can just take our focus for a period of time and say, you're real. In this moment, this is a reality for you. I acknowledge you. Let's be in this. You want me to be in you for whatever reason. And it's incredible when that energy does get released, it completely shifts itself into something so beautiful. And that
Yeah.
was not why I was even doing it. I was just doing it to say, all right, if
Yeah.
acceptance is the answer to my problems, I accept all of you. And boom,
Yeah.
it became
Yeah.
something different.
Yes, it transmutes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I
Yeah.
think these points are so important. And
Yeah.
I want
Yeah.
to go a little deeper into this, and I'm going to tell people about a few places of action to find us. But let me focus on
Okay.
this and shift a little bit into Conscious Life Expo. So you and
Yeah.
I are going to be there. It is February 20th through the 23rd, 2026. We're both speaking,
Yes.
and it is, bar none, I think, the most exciting consciousness event. There
Yeah.
is 8,000 people who come through the door. Three floors of a hotel get taken over. I don't even remember the number, but it's exponential,
It's
the vendors. It's
huge.
huge.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Your community is there. Tell us
Yeah.
what you're going to be talking about and what you're going to be doing.
Sure. So it is, I believe, let me remember what my own talk is about. It's all the magic of plasma. I think it's how to heal, create, and yeah, it is. Okay. How to heal, create, and connect with the fifth element. So the number one question people ask me is how do I connect with it? So I'm going to be talking more about how you actually connect with plasma. We talked a little bit about it today, but just going way more into depth on that. And then how also to heal with it emotionally with yourself, others. Also like literally what you were just saying, by the way, when we are unknotting or transmuting that those emotions, that's literally plasma energy. Those are imprints and plasma that we are, I don't know if you know of the goddess Inanna, but one of her symbols is a knot. But it's like we're unknotting those fourth dimensional plasma fabrics in us and kind of they're kind of smoothing out and then go back into like our kind of toroidal field. And it's just kind of like more fabric to create like love with in reality versus having like a knotted exterior. The same way there's knots in like our fascia because people always connect fascia with plasma. So yeah, connecting. Healing and then how to create, which is the most exciting part. So I'll be talking kind of about like more about like magic and plasma. And I'm keeping kind of it close to my chest right now just because I am channeling it a little bit from my higher self. So it's coming through me. So this is how I work. I'm not going to have it until, well, I'll be teaching it next week, but this week is really when I'm kind of putting it into a presentation. But yeah, just those three things. I mean, a lot of it literally is in my book. It's just like a lot to read. So I'll basically just be distilling the most important things in my book and some new things that are not in my book into, what is it, an hour and a half talk presentation. And it's really just going to be for people who want to deepen the juiciness of life, who want to discover their personal magic, who want to connect with this tangible substance that has been called many things over the thousands of years, and why it matters to call it plasma now, and why it might help if they learn about plasma, and assigning that almost name to this very mythic, ancient energy. And it'll be whimsical, it'll be fun. I think it will relieve people of a lot of like spiritual guilt, just like reminding us how human we are And, you know, it's all about being authentic and making mistakes and being in a childhood play. Plasma loves play. It loves fun. I call fun like a funnel. When you're in your fun, you're in a vortex where everything kind of comes to you. And it's also about not feeling guilty when we're not having fun because, you know, some of us can, just like I've had a rough week. We all get in those decoherent moments where we think, you know, life kind of sucks and nothing's coming to us. And that's part of life too. And how do we deal with that? So, you know, no matter how much we work on ourselves. So it's just about learning the dance of reality and what I call plasma consciousness synergy. And maybe, you know, learning more about how to be in relationship with reality than control reality. And, you know, just like being in any relationship, it takes two to tango. There's work on both sides. There is surrender, not just control. There's understanding and learning. There's love and unconditional love. So, you know, just applying those all to plasma and consciousness with a dose of magic.
So exciting. How cool. So, for folks who are going, I'll have some of that, please. It's Friday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday, all day Monday is an after conference. Stay for all of it. Do not deny yourself because I can promise you, you won't want to leave. And it is such a beautiful experience. I'm moderating two panels.
Oh, which
I'm also.
ones?
I am moderating on Friday for 2 hours,
Friday.
plant medicine.
Okay.
Then I speak Friday at 7. And then Saturday, I am moderating ET consciousness.
Oh.
And then there is something coming down the pike that's a big surprise that nobody knows about yet.
Oh,
So y'all will be the
oh.
first. But the person who owns Conscious Life Expo wrote a play and he's, producing a play. I'm in it. I have one of the roles. I think it's me, Jimmy Church, and Damian Brinkley in
Oh,
the
Jimmy
play.
Church. Yeah.
It's going to be so fun. And so we're putting that on Saturday night at 10. And then just on and on, there, you know, this is the time to come be with people like Dana in person. Like it's a different experience. Like the book is beautiful, buy it, right? Her YouTube videos are beautiful, watch them. And the next step is engagement. Plus, honestly, you will find your tribe. So, all the links are going to be in the show notes. Check it out. For those who are listening, instead of watching or reading, go to debbiedashinger.com/CLE, made a pretty link for you. And so, it's my name, DEBBI, no E, DACHINGER.com/CLE. Let me invite you into a few more things for those who would like to find out who you are galactically, what your ancestry is from the cosmos. I invite you to free access to a starseed video and report. It will take you through this so you can learn more about yourself in a more multidimensional way. Go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. I am also doing my final shamanic galactic healing for everyone from around the world, December. So join us. And I'll tell you in a minute why it's the last one. You know, I've been doing it monthly. It's been a profound personal transformation from these healings and activations. Go to debbiedashinger.com/healing. So why is December going to be the last one? Because I finally got the message. You guys have been asking me to teach shamanism, and I kept getting a no. And then I got a yes. I heard a yes. And I mean a no for years. And then this yes was about it is time people need these tools. So I am rolling out Shamanism Level 1, January 6, 2026. And you can go to debbiedashinger.com. It just opened. debbiedashinger.com/L1 for level one. L1. People are signing up now. There's only 15 spots, and you will get tools and practices, and your life will start to change. I can promise you, it's that powerful. And finally, folks, if this conversation we're having and going to be having again in a moment means something to you, then support us. It's free. It takes you a moment, and we would be grateful. So subscribe, comment, like this video. It helps us reach more star seeds, more light workers around the globe. If you are watching on YouTube, you can hype the video. That means a lot. You can hype for free for up to 3 times a week. So please do it. We look to you for all the beautiful free content that we provide. Okay, Miss Dana. So,
Yeah.
what exactly do you think plasma beings are? Do you think they're ancestors? Do you think they're chemistry? Do you think they're extraterrestrial aspects of us? Something else entirely. What's your take?
Yeah, the way I talk about it in my book is I believe it is plasma beings are all the beings we come into contact with, literally even humans. And they're all encased in plasma. They can be consciousness encased in plasma, as we define it right now, and what I call intelligence encased in plasma. And then there's informational plasma beings, which is information encased in plasma. So those three can look like, third dimensional plasma beings, which are literally like you and me. We're plasma beings. We're made of, blood plasma. We have a plasma aura. We are literally plasma ourselves. We're plasma people. And that is why when you look at someone, it's important to not look at them from your own conscious judgment, because it's basically proof, like, they reflect your subconscious. Any human is perfect training ground for these conscious being realms, because the same as they reflect our subconscious, human beings reflect our subconscious. So there's a lot you can learn about your own internalized judgments when you're noticing your judgments of other people. You probably know best. Like when you're not judging people and you're seeing the truth of them and connecting with them, that's when you see the true person. And it can be a beautiful thing when you open that space up for someone. And then there's what I call fourth dimensional informational plasma beings, which are, within our timeline, past, present, future. And they are information packets of trauma, of memory, of maybe magic our ancestors left for us. They can be positive too, not always negative, like Dakinis. They might show up in gray aliens. They might show up as Bigfoot, cryptids, demons, witch ladies, fairies. They could show up as anything. They are all in what I call this fourth dimensional plasma paint of archetypes and of all mythological creatures, because they come dressed in what our memory remembers. So whatever we're most recognizable, they will come either what our culture recognizes, or like something maybe we've seen before, or sometimes it's something we haven't seen and we actually look it up to learn more about like why it came in that kind of suit, plasma suit. And the informational beings, I wouldn't call conscious. I would call them more conscious imprints, more sentience or informational packets, and then that reflect our subconscious. And then, the way to get to see the truth of them is obviously to heal ourselves and to use curiosity to question what's behind that first layer of what we're seeing. Then there's intelligent, or what I also would call awareness or 5D consciousness, which I think are most of these interdimensional things visiting us. They are conscious, they have free will, and they're all benevolent. And I think they also have to come through this fourth dimensional layer to get to our three-dimensional reality. So the confusing part is they wear the same clothes as these informational plasma beings. So the only way to kind of decipher like what's really in there, whether it's a timeline, yourself visiting you from another timeline, it's your inner child trauma, it's someone sending you not good energy, it's an interdimensional being visiting you from another world, it's your higher self visiting you. You're only going to know that once you can get through that subconscious layer and see the truth of that information. And you can maybe find that out through channeling, journaling, not judging, letting things, when you're experiencing these things, not assigning meaning to it, and giving yourself a few days to really integrate the experience, letting things kind of reveal themselves to you, letting it be a mystery, and just taking like, what you get from it and discerning if you want to apply that to your life. But anyway, I would call plasma beings everything we come across.
This thing, I want to nerd out with you for a minute because you did a video and I really love the video and you were so excited in the video because you were making this connection, these incredible parallels between Philip Pullman's dust and the dusty complex plasma. And I want to talk about that For folks who don't know who that is, and so by the way, that was a great video for me because I'm trying to remember how it worked, but I think it started with me watching the entire TV series, and I was really upset when it didn't continue. I think they did four seasons, but it was like I loved it, right? Then I went back and I watched the original movie, Golden Compass. And then I started doing the books, and I'm an Audible person. So it was like, book it. They're really good, too. I was like, book after book after book. And the new one, by the way,
The
that they
Rose
have
Field.
just
I
came
have
out.
it.
Totally. So that was a very cool way to connect this. Talk more about that. How, I mean, let's just start with how fiction is reflecting real metaphysical science.
I have a whole like mini chapter in my book called Plasma, the Hollywood Star, about how like plasma is, in the dark materials. It's also in what is his name? Philip K. Dick. He called it plasmate, and he wrote all of these things about plasmate and how it's like this intelligent pink substance that is like a laser. And he wrote a book called Valis about it. It's so crazy. But dark materials. So Philip Pullman writes about this like sentient dust. I think he relates it more to actual consciousness. But in he also there's a lot of so okay. So first is the Alpheometer. So Lyra, the one of the characters, has to communicate with dust with this Alpheometer. And if you go through his stories, you learn it's just like the alchemist journey. She has beginner's luck, just like I had. She has a very easy time communicating. She's in a state of play with this plasma, with this dust. It comes to her through mythological symbols, just like it did to me, kind of tells her things. And then eventually she gets more into logic and doubt and, all these people around her and starts can't communicate. And I had this happen, and I'm still kind of coming off the edge of this where I was just like, pressure, and all these people are seeing me now, and I have to perform. And it's like, that's not what it's about. And then at the end, kind of getting back into a more integrated of, okay, now she has the wisdom, the depth, the d discernment, and realize that she had to go through that dark blind spot to get to the other side, that we all have to part with our beginner's luck and go through that desert, that journey to get to the other side, that integrated side of communicating with plasma and our higher selves, and understanding that these symbols that come through, we have to discern them. We can't spiritual bypass ourselves with them, so which we sometimes can get into early on, or like not integrate it in our body or our lives. Like how we see people who channel, but their entire life is messed up. I was like that as well. And there's so much lessons in that book from the Alpheometer and learning how to read it that I learned from. And then there's Mary Malone character, I think her name is, like very much like Mary Magdalene, that also like creates a computer, I think, that communicates with this dust. I wrote a movie about this before I ever even looked into the dark materials, about a woman making a computer to communicate with plasma. So I just felt, when I found that, I thought it was insane. And there's so many breadcrumbs there. I'll let people read it themselves. And the fact that it's the books are called, like, there's the Northern Lights, which is literally plasma. There's the Amber Spyglass, which has a lot to do with plasma, which I'll talk about another time because I'll go on way too much of a tangent. The Subtle Knife, which is literally your consciousness cutting through plasma using subtle energy versus, like control. And then the Rose Field book. And I'll go back. The Book of Dust, which the Rose Field is like the third installment in that. Dusty complex plasma is a real thing in science, which is the closest thing to conscious plasma you can think of that has properties of self-organization. It is filaments like DNA. It is these things called the Korolewski clouds between points L4 and L5, between the moon and the earth. You can look them up. Robert Temple calls them the cosmic super brains, and they're dusty complex plasma clouds that seem to be intelligent. And it all has to do with dust, dusty complex plasma. And it's almost like the dust of the universe. It's so interesting. And the third book in the Book of Dust, I think it's the third book, correct me if I'm wrong, you probably know more, is called The Rose Field. And the rose, it literally, if you were to put in a model of the universe and make it a plasma universe, the spiral universe turns into a rose. And you can look that up, I think, on like plasmauniverse.com. And it also is the secret symbol of the divine feminine of Mary Magdalene. It is the rosette of Inanna. And the word Inanna backwards literally means cloud of God or cloud of Yahweh. And there's so many, and Inanna also, you see the symbols of the lion, I mean, of the lion, of the lion, the little ion plasma. And you also see symbols of the owl, which is just a plasma torus cut in half. There's so much like symbology and how she's like holding up in the Inanna statue, she's holding up the power of the horizon, which is just the power of the in-between or like the liminal space. Anyway, I get too much on a tangent, and a lot of it's in my book and sounds way better than what I'm saying. But there are so many connections. I'm sure you could bring up some in the Dark Material series and plasma. It is actually uncanny. Yeah.
How you broke all of this down. And this alethiometer that you bring up,
Yeah.
it's a very powerful device, and everyone wants to get their hands on it, which is a big piece of the plot. But the thing is, of course, the bad guys want to get their hands on it, but only Lyra, really, and maybe a handful of other people in the whole world can use it. So she comes to it from this beautiful place, but it was also destined for her to be able
Yep.
to use it to gain information from every realm. And the thing I was thinking about listening to you is how Lyra's name is twofold. I mean, Lyra is a Greek instrument. A mythological, they say,
Liar.
instrument, right? Yes. And it's also a constellation in the sky. And then there's also the beings, the galactic beings, the Lyrans, right? Who are the lion beings from the planet of Lyra, although it's spelled Lyra. And so I was also reflecting on that when you were bringing it up. And I will say, like, one of my favorite things about the books, the movies, the TV series is the daemons, is the idea that
I didn't
every
even bring that up.
person has a soul and that soul piece is on the outside as an animal. And it's the animals, of course, they're so perfect for you. But like even in my life right now, I look at my dog, there's no doubt that's my dog. There's no
It's
doubt
your, yeah.
that's my soul,
And
right?
it's also your fourth, what I call your fourth dimensional plasma layer, your aura. That is our daemon. It is sentient, not conscious. It holds our consciousness. So it's like our animalistic, but in a good way, like benevolent. It's like How to Train Your Dragon. It's like the dragon that our consciousness rides on. So,
I like that. Yeah. Beautiful. What a pleasure to chat with you. How can people find you, Dana? What's next?
Well, I want to really quick with the dark materials work because you just brought it up and it's so imperative because we are taught in these stories that only certain people can access this, right? And the reason that's true in the stories is because they're pure of heart. They are authentic. They feel their feelings. They have innocence and they want to help the world. If you have that, anyone can connect with this. If you don't have those intentions, you will never. And unfortunately, a lot of people don't have those intentions. But I don't want people to think it's closed off because it's not. But it is if you don't have good intentions. So anyway, I knew I had the most purest of intentions, no matter how many mistakes I've made, which is why I feel I have access to some of these things. And maybe I don't share everything yet, but I will in the future. Okay, where can people find me? My website is danakippel.com. The easiest way, though, to look at all my stuff, if you don't want to know in depth about me per se, but just what I have to offer, is my Stan store. It is the link in my bio on my Instagram, dana.thealien. It is on my YouTube, which is at Plasma Intelligence, and my TikTok, which is at Dana Kippel. And the Stan store is like you click in the link in the bio, and it shows how to buy my signed book. My color version and my black and white version on Amazon. And then also shows whatever magic classes I'm teaching this month, which I usually teach one magic class the month. And then I'll have, it'll be a live Q&A. And then I'm potentially in January, I'll be adding like a group kind of master class slash coaching just once a month, just so people can kind of have a more intimate connection with me and teaching really fun stuff, whatever I feel like teaching. And if I ever don't want to do it, I'm going to stop doing it. So yeah, that's all on my Stan store. And like my blog is on there and stuff too. And then I'll be speaking at the Conscious Life Expo Saturday, the 22nd at I believe 2:30 or 5 p.m., but you can go on the website to look about them in the Carmel room. I think it's at 2:30, but I'm not sure.
You know all these places, plus her website, danakippel.com. So,
Yes.
Dana, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to
Thanks.
dream? What are your future dreams and visions?
So many, but I'll just share a few, I guess. I'm working on my next book, which is actually a way shorter book about fear and how it's the same thing as our flow state and how to hack into that. Because all of us, I feel like, are dealing with fear right now. I'm working on my second feature film. I'm working on a short fantasy film. And I'm also writing another fun fantasy, well, my first fa fun fantasy book. And then I'm also going to be working on moving more towards like live events where I speak live about the plasma and stuff next year. So a lot of things.
Well, thank you for today. Thank you for opening our minds to this subject and the possibilities and being able to have acceptance of where we are, but also open to more through using plasma and our thoughts and our willingness to maybe slice through something, step into something way greater.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me, Debbie. And I can't wait to see your talk and learn more about you as well.
Blessings. Great. And folks, I
Thanks.
end today's show with this reminder. When we remember that consciousness is not separate from the universe, but woven through it, we finally understand that reality isn't happening to us, it's happening with us. This has been Dare to Dream for curious souls connecting with higher dimensions, extraterrestrial life, and ancient shamanic wisdom. Next week on the show, I am speaking with Ross Coulthart. I don't think I even need to say who he is. He is so famous in the UAP world. He's an investigative reporter out of Australia. He's watched by the entire world. And I am very excited to have a deep and wonderful conversation with him. Remember, subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, leave a comment, hype the show, and most of all, do what you need to do to take care of yourself right now, and you can use some of the magic that you learned today.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, debbiedashinger.com. That's DEBBIDACHINGER. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream Podcast with Debbie Dashner, your number one transformation conversation.